Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
All right. Well, again, good morning. Welcome to Door of Life. We are, again, so glad you tuned in. We are also just excited for what God's going to do this morning. And just want to let you know right off, you can kind of see, hopefully see the picture up there, the praying hands. They're not black hands or white hands. They're hands that are painted with the American flag. And, you know, it's one of those weeks in our nation's history that we know is significant, and it's an amazing time to be alive on so many levels just in the year 2020. But this morning it's going to be a special kind of a service. You know, usually I just preach my message and pray and we're done. Well, this morning it's going to be a little different. It's going to be kind of a precept and example kind of a service. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to preach a message. And the title of the message today is simply Praying for Our Nation. Praying for Our Nation. And I just want to go through some basic things about praying for our nation. And as we do, we are going to, at the end of the message, begin to pray. I'm going to pray. A few people that are here are going to also join in. We're just going to pray. You know, as the Spirit leads, we're going to lift up this nation. And just believe God to do something very special today. We're just believing that something is going to break today in the spirit realm that's going to turn what we've been experiencing this week. And we're going to be praying on a lot of different levels. But that's what I want to do this morning, is really get into praying for our nation, getting into the Word of God. How do we pray? What does the Scripture tell us? Because we know that we need to pray according to the Word of God. And that's what we're going to do. And so I'm going to go ahead and start this morning with a passage of Scripture in 1 John. 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." You know, we started this morning as we were opening in worship to celebrate Pentecost. This is Pentecost Sunday, and it's such an appropriate Sunday it is, because now more than ever, we need to be reminded and stirred up in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, my year started interesting. I, again, like a lot of other preachers, preparing my messages for 2020, thinking, you know, what's the word for 2020 and all that. And I still remember we were actually traveling back from Tulsa, because we had spent some time with family there over the first of the year, and we were just traveling back, and it was in the hotel. And I was like just woken up in with a dream. And I've related this a few different times, and I just had to scrap my 2020 word and go with this word, because it was just so clear and overriding. And the word for our Door of Life New Year was simply, fear not, God lives in you. God lives in you. And that's what the Lord did then, was kind of take me by the hand in this dream. And a lot of you have kind of heard me relate this before. If you haven't heard it, you might just want to go back and listen to that first Sunday in January message. But basically, I just kind of saw myself in a park, sunny day, a lot like today. And I was kind of walking through this park, and it was like there was a circuit, and there was like these three venues or so. And I remember going to this first venue, and I couldn't remember exactly details. What I remember, and this is kind of the way it is when you get a spiritual type of a dream, you get impressions that are generic in a sense, so you pull that back through for God to prepare your heart. And as I was going through this park, I saw this venue on a beautiful sunny day, and people were panicked and afraid, and it's like, what are we going to do about this? This is too big. It's just, no. You know. And I remember in my dream, in relating this, just experiencing that verse. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And people panicking, and they're afraid, and what are we going to do? And I was You know, it was one of those dreams. It was a dream that encouraged my spirit because I was God was showing me a place I could be at. I was actually further along in my dream than I was in real life, okay? But in my dream, I was so cool. I was so chill. And it was just like the revelation of that scripture just was real to me. Like we were praying for the Spirit of God to give us not just the theology of His great power that works toward us who believe, but a revelation, the eyes of our understanding enlightened that we can see that power that works toward us who believe. It was like I had that revelation in a dream and I could see that power. And it was, you know, I'm in this venue in this park and I can't tell you the specifics, the details, but people were panicked. And I just remember saying, it's okay. He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. It was just greater. There was only one thing that mattered. He that was in me was greater than he that was in the world. And I just remember having peace, a tremendous sense of peace, and just letting that power and that grace flow from me. You know, and I know that it was, in hindsight, figurative of the church rising up and taking our place in these world traumatic situations. Because after that, I actually woke up. I went back into that dream, and it was like I was taken to another venue in the same park. And it's like, what are you going to do about this? Because this was different than the other one. And I remember, even though it was different, the answer was still the same. He that was in me is greater than he that is in the world. And it happened a third time. There was another one. But it doesn't matter what the enemy throws at us. He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. And the Lord keeps taking me back to this word, fear not, because the greater one of Pentecost lives in you, and he is greater than he that is in the world. You know, there are people whose hearts are failing them for fear of things coming on the earth. And you can just turn on your TV and your stomach and go, ugh. You can feel and sense the fear in the air. They're fearing the things that are coming on the earth because so many people in this world are without hope and they're without God in the world. But we are not without hope and we are not without God in the world. In fact, the greater one lives in us. And we've got a choice. That's where Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We have a choice. We can see things and we can say, okay, am I going to go to fear? Am I going to let my heart be afraid? Or am I going to let it not be afraid? There's images, there's things that we're seeing right now, and there's an inflection point of that choice. And the world needs us to make the right choice as the church in the earth. Because this earth needs the church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. You know, there's a song that talks about Jesus, do what you're famous for. Well, Jesus would love to do what he's famous for, but he's going to do it through me and you. He's going to do it through the church. It's not looking up for him to zap things. We're his body in the earth. And there's a call this morning. There is a call to pray for our nation. And as we do, we're going to sense that call to rise up and to be who we are because we have authority. We have the ability to stand up and to stand in the gap and take authority over the spiritual side of what's going on here. And so, again, the message this morning is simply praying for our nation. Okay? So there's a few things that we're going to do as we talk about praying for our nation. All right. First of all, like we said, you just got to make that choice. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid by the things that I see. We're the church in the earth. We can stand up with the authority that God has given us. First aspect of praying for our nation, humble ourselves. We seem to keep coming over this ground every time we get ready to unleash the greater one that's on the inside of us. But God gives grace to the humble. There's a humbling of ourselves. 2 Chronicles 7:14-15. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. Now, in the broader context, there's a dedication of the temple, and so he's talking about a physical temple. But we know that we are now the temple of the Holy Ghost, and God honors prayers that are made in this place, a temple of Pentecost. We're a temple of the greater one. We're a temple of that. So we're praying prayers from this place of humility, this place of humbling ourselves and praying and turning from our wicked ways. You know, there's another exhortation in James that says, "Dearest brothers and sisters, take this to heart. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, for human anger is never a legitimate tool to promote God's righteous purpose. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." This isn't talking to the world. This is talking to the church. This is talking to the dearest brothers and sisters. This is talking to us. This is talking about us getting the anger out of our heart, humbling ourselves, praying, the word of God planted in us. Isn't it interesting how many times we find ourselves saying, we can get in our heads and we think, I got to get back on the word. And so many times in political climates and environments, we can get back in our heads and we got to go, I got to get back in the word. The word can save my soul. Why can it save your soul? Because it can divide us under the soul and the spirit. It can reveal human anger that's not God's anger. He can reveal human anger that's rooted in outbursts of wrath and hatred and bitterness and all that. It can show you the difference in the dear brothers and sisters in us. And so we find that God calls us to pray, but to pray from a place of humility, a place of humbling ourselves. He says, "Then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land." So before I start praying, you know, against the specks and the logs in other people's eyes, I'm going to say, "Okay, Lord, I'm getting some things out of my eyes here. I'm getting clear, all right?" I'll tell you, sometimes you could wrestle with something, you know, playing hard to get with repenting from things that could benefit your own breakthrough and stuff like that, and you can look out at a world or a nation that's in worse shape than you are. I mean, you may have some fires going on the inside of you. You may have some things that aren't quite right going on in your heart, your own little wars that are going on and turf battles that are going on in your own heart for stuff and things like that. But you look out at a world that needs you, and you find yourself repenting from stuff, not for your own breakthrough, because this nation needs me. It needs me. I got to get some stuff clear because people are dying out there. They need me. You find that you're getting free from stuff because we're the church. We gotta just open our hearts and say, "God, here we go. I want to make a difference in what's going on out there." Praise God. And so, realizing that, okay, I'm going to lay aside my human anger. I'm going to humble myself. Get on the word of God. But also it's important to realize this too, because the enemy uses this a lot of times as a point of condemnation. Because there may be riots going on in your own heart over little things and stuff that you're fighting about, or things you don't know, or your why God questions, or things you're trying to overcome. You know, you've got that stuff going on the inside of you. Sometimes you feel like, well, yeah, this is for the real spiritual giants to be praying here. Who am I to pray? You know, I mean, I've still got some stuff working out. No, you can pray. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to have overcome every single work of the flesh. You don't have to have been, you know, completely, perfectly conformed into the image of Christ, you know, in terms of being able to pray, in terms of being able to stand in the gap, in terms of being able to intercede. How do we know that? Well, all you got to do is read the epistles of the Apostle Paul. Read Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians and different things like Philippians and different books in the Bible like that. And a lot of times he starts out those books by saying, you know, who hindered you? You ran well. He'll exhort. He'll rebuke. He'll correct. He'll do all the instruct. He'll teach. And at the end of those books, he'll say, pray for me. You pray for me. The great Apostle Paul leading my prayers? Yes. The great Apostle Paul, at the end of his letters, would say, pray for me. Again, after he got done, you know, exhorting them and showing things, what's the point? you don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to be there in some place of spirituality before you can pray for things and intercede, because the power is in the name of Jesus. The power is the Holy Spirit. The excellency of the power is not of us, it's of God. So I don't have to have it perfect. I can look past my stuff, and I can begin to, by faith, pray. That's humbling yourself. It's another way we humble ourselves. Praying for a nation. Humble ourselves and pray. Man, if there's some stuff, just, Lord, forgive me, help me, but I'm praying right now for this nation. I'm praying for this nation to be turned around. Okay? So realize, no matter where you're at in your walk with the Lord, you're qualified to be able to pray. Just humble yourself. Don't give in to the human anger. Lay it aside. That's not what's going to win the battle. That's not what's going to do it. You do have weapons of your warfare that are powerful through God, but human anger is not one of them. So we're going to be switching over to God's weapons. We know it's not flesh and blood. We know it's powers and principalities. The flesh and blood are the puppets of the powers and principalities. We got to get after the ones pulling the strings and begin to influence some of those things to where people can realize they are being pulled by strings. They got to see the big picture. We see past. We see, as the church, I'm talking about the church now, we see things that the world can't see. We have a vantage point they don't have. So we don't shame them for not having our vantage point in spiritual things, but we pray. We pray for people. We intercede for this nation. Praise God. So that's the first thing. We just humble ourselves, all right? You don't have to be perfect no matter where you're at. If you're a believer, Pentecost is in you. The greater one is in you. You're in the park. You're qualified to unleash the greater one in the middle of chaos. You have the answer. You're the church. What's next? We got to pray for our authorities. The scripture is so clear. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 3. Most of all, I'm writing to encourage you to pray with gratitude to God. Pray for all men with all forms of prayers and requests as you intercede with intense passion. And pray for every political leader and representative so that we would be able to live tranquil, undisturbed lives as we worship the awe-inspiring God with pure hearts. It is pleasing to our God and Savior to pray for them. That's profound in of itself. It's pleasing to our Savior God to pray for those who are in authority. You'll notice here that, well, let's just kind of, I'm going to dovetail with the next scripture because they really kind of go hand in hand. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Message, if you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get his help. You won't be condescended to when you ask for it. So what are we talking about in these scriptures? We're praying for those who are in authority, and more specifically, too, we're praying for wisdom for those who are in authority. We're interceding for their wisdom, that they will know the Spirit of God. They will know the mind of the Spirit in the matter. Now, it's important to realize, and no matter what translation you go, you pray for all who are in authority. We pray for all who are in authority. You don't just pray for the ones you voted for. You pray for all who are in authority. Praise God. Do you know, in the same way, you don't have to be personally perfect to be able to pray? The politician doesn't have to be personally perfect to receive the benefit of your prayers either. All right? In other words, God's favor can flow through somebody, not because their political ideology is perfectly in line with his word, but God can flow through somebody because you prayed. That's significant. That means I'm not completely at the mercy of who is or who isn't in office, because I can pray. I have a part to play as I pray for all who are in authority. And please my God, through those prayers, they avail much. Prayer matters. Prayer matters for the person praying and for the person receiving our prayers. We're praying for all who are in authority. Yeah, we don't always get the instant gratification of seeing the answer to that prayer. immediately. We don't always get that. But we're praying in faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Praying for those who are in authority pleases God. That means we believe God is. The king's heart is in his hand. He can turn it whithersoever he desires. We're praying, we're trusting, and he rewards us as we're seeking him. All right? We do our part, certainly on a political, civic level, to pray and to vote and do what our role and our part, but it's not just all at the mercy of the vote. We can pray, and God can move. It's been amazing to listen to a lot of different politicians saying different things and truth resonating across the board from different things, and you can just tell that people are praying. People are praying for all who are in authority, not just for certain people who are in authority, but for all who are in authority. And the power of those prayers brings the presence of the Spirit on people in authority, and that's our power. That's when we're in the park, we're unleashing that prayer. We're praying for all who are in authority. We're chill, we've got this, we're praying, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for wisdom for these people at the federal, state, and local officials. Wow, if we've ever seen the importance of the federal, state, and local officials working together, we've seen it in the coronavirus, and we've seen it here in the race riots and conflicts that we've got going on today. You know, we need that to be praying for all who are in authority on all these different levels. This is something that we can do. It is powerful. And when we begin to pray, we can begin to pray for the wisdom of God. We can all of us also just begin to pray as God leads us by His Spirit. You know, you just pray for wisdom. That's just one example. But as you begin to pray for those who are in authority, you may be praying for some of their salvations. You may be praying for influential people to cross their paths. You may be taking authority over spiritual things that God will reveal to you while you're praying. You know, take authority over this, take authority over that. Could be a spirit of fear, lawlessness, different things like that. But you get into praying by faith, stepping into that place, and you're just letting the Holy Spirit work together with you. We don't know how to pray always as we up at the Holy Spirit, but the Pentecost on the inside of us, the greater one, he knows how to pray. Sometimes you're just going to pray in the Spirit. Praise God. I remember when the Gulf War broke out. Julie and I were attending Rhema. It was a Wednesday night when those Tomahawk missiles shot off, and we went to that service on Wednesday night, and it just turned into a prayer service, basically. We didn't have any teaching or preaching. It was just getting together and praying over our nation and praying. And I just remember praying, and sometimes I prayed for what I needed to pray and all that stuff, and you can run out of stuff to say in English. Well, thank God for the Holy Spirit when you can begin to pray in an unknown tongue, begin to pray in the Spirit. I remember just switching over into the Spirit, and pretty soon I began to pray, which I realize now was the interpretation of the tongue. And I was beginning to pray specific, targeted prayers about military stuff and installments and generals and things that I would have never in my natural thinking, but it just came out as I was praying in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, Pentecost in us, gives us an ability to pray. You're an undercover. You're a secret agent. You can get into places in the Holy Spirit that your natural man doesn't even have the intellect to go or know or understand. You can pray beyond your understanding as you begin to pray in the Spirit. You pray out mysteries. God will begin to minister through you. But to realize that's part of just praying for those who are in authority. This is how we let the greater one who's in us out. Praise God. And then finally, we're praying for the harvest. Our job down here is not a utopia of a human government of perfect civil obedience on all levels. That's not what Jesus called us to do. Those were not his parting words to us before he left. We have an agenda. We have an agenda for the kingdom of God to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. No matter what we do, no matter where we go, we've got to see the gospel. We've got to not allow anything to take our eye off the ball of why we're here. This is a short-term mission trip for us, okay? It really is. I remember talking, I think, with Abby about this. We were talking about how, you know, a day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. You know, if the average lifespan is about 80 years or so, that works out to about a two-hour movie. you know, 2-hour movie in the spirit, our lifespan. And to realize that this is why we're down here. You know, our 2-hour movie in the spirit is playing out. And our goal, our purpose in this movie is to see people come to Jesus. That's it. To not allow anything the enemy throws at us to distract us from that goal, from that prize. And Jesus told us very specifically how to pray. He said, then Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. No matter what the enemy throws at us, we've got to begin to see opportunities for the harvest, for salvations, for people to come to Jesus. And I'm putting this next to another thing Jesus said in the same book of Matthew. He said, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. If you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Don't even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven. He didn't say as their Father in heaven. He said as your Father in heaven is perfect. That scripture in 45 is he causes his rain to fall on the just and the unjust. He's good, you know, not just to the good, but he's good to the people who are hateful. And of course, we saw Jesus demonstrate that love of God. This is important. Why? Because for a large part, these are the people we're down here to reach. This is the harvest we're praying about. Oh, Lord, send laborers into the harvest. Well, that's where you're going into. And if we're going to go out into that harvest, we got to go into that harvest not with just the same old lines or political lines or ideological lines. We got to go in the power of the Holy Ghost. We got to go prayed up with love. We're going in there with love. You know, that can be picked up. When somebody sees you and they classify you and they you know, okay, I know that's where they stand politically. You know, that's kind of where they are socially. That's where they are. They do. They run the math and kind of have you figured out. But when you've been praying for them, there's something different about that. Math doesn't work. There's something about that praying and loving and blessing and doing good that messes with their math, that causes the harvest seed to be awakened in them. And so there's a praying. We're praying for the harvest. We're seeing harvest in this. We're seeing opportunity for harvest. Lord, show us how to pray for the harvest. Show us how to love. Show us how to bless. Show us how to do good. Show us how to pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That's what makes us different in the world. That's what makes us salt and light. Why? Because then it's about, I'm at the power of the Holy Spirit, not because I want an argument. I'm loving, I'm praying, I'm doing good. I need the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what I'm depending on. It puts us in that place where we're reaching the lost and we're believing those words. If you do the other stuff, you're just like the tax collectors, you're just like everybody else. But the same love, while we were sinners, he loved us and gave himself for us. That's the Father's love. While people are sinners, we love them and we show them grace and we say what we hear the Father say. There's that powerful dynamic. Why is that? Well, the Lord isn't slack concerning his promise. Some count slackness. He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That includes those guys. They're part of the any. And that's when our heart becomes his heart. So we're looking at things. We're looking at opportunities for the gospel. Because I'm telling you what, that's when you win, when people come to Christ. That's when the influence changes. It's not, you know, political winds can change and blow so rapidly. One way or the other way, Oh, we finally got it all right. It's like a house of cards. You got to try to keep it and maintain it. The true forward momentum is getting people saved, getting the Pentecost on the inside of them. That's our agenda. That's the biggest agenda we have, because the Holy Spirit can take it from there in a lot of cases and really get things taken care of. And, you know, we see that in our own lives. There's a development that we learn, we grow, we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. But you know, point number one is we're just getting that gospel. We're getting them saved. That's our goal. That's it. Because, you know, even in terms of bad laws, you can stop bad. You know, it's like, we got to get that law overturned or else, you know, things aren't going to stop. You can get somebody saved without getting the law overturned and bad things can stop. So we realize, first things first, we're here to get people saved. If we get enough saved, then the government of the people, by the people, for the people will begin to reflect those things. But first things first, we got to get people saved. Why is that ultimately comes back down? First of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving thanks for all men, kings, all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. It's good, acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, when I think about it like that, it really kind of jerks the slack out of me, because whoever it is that I refuse to love is somebody who Jesus died for. We really got to see it in that light and say, Lord, you didn't suffer in vain. I'm going to love them too, because you died for them too. You're not willing that any should perish, because you died for all the sins of all the world. And so, Lord, help me to love the unlovable. Song that came out several years back, well, probably 30 years ago, maybe 30 years ago, Rich Mullins, While the Nations Rage, it says, he says, why do the nations rage? Why do they plot and scheme? Their bullets can't stop the prayers we pray in the name of the Prince of Peace. We walk in faith and remember long ago how they killed him, and then how on the third day he arose. Well, things may look bad and things may look grim, but all these things must pass. And I think about the images that I see on TV. But all these things must pass except the things that are of him. Where are the nails that pierced his hands? The nails have turned to rust, but behold the man. He is risen and he reigns in the hearts of the children, rising up in his name. Where are the thorns that drew his blood? The thorns have turned to dust, but not so the love he has given. No, it remains in the hearts of the children who will love while the nations rage. The Lord in heaven laughs. He knows what is to come. While all the chiefs of state plan their big attacks against his anointed one, the church of God, she will not bend her knees to the gods of this world, though they promise her peace. She stands her ground, stands firm on the rock, watch their walls tumble down when she lives out his love. Where are the nails that pierced his hand? The nails have turned to rust, but not so the man. He is risen, and he reigns in the hearts of the children, rising up in his name. And again, it just takes me back to that venue in that park. A panicked world that needs peace. A panicked world that needs answers. We're here. We're here. I'll tell you again, I'm motivated because, man, I want to, this world needs us. This world needs us to rise up in his name, to rise up in that love, to rise up and pray for those who are over us in authority. God gives authority, not to perfect people. But once there's authority upon their lives, there is authority in our prayers as we pray for them. Praise God. Not only that, but we pray for the harvest. We keep our eye on the ball. You know what you see out there is you see people who need Jesus. These lives, these bodies, let me say a two-hour movie. I'm not sure how, I probably don't even want to calculate how far I am into my movie right now, but the point is these, we're a vapor down here. And all we got down here, we got influence. You know, when I'm in heaven, when my spirit leaves my body and I'm in a place of heaven, I'm still going to have free will. But my choices are glory, 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 glory. There's no evil in heaven. It's just all glory. It's all amazing. The exceeding riches of his grace. But there's a unique time in my existence that I get, that I got that same free will, but I'm in a place of choice of good and evil. This is where I can choose with this free will. Only for this two-hour movie, I get to take my free will in this environment where it's not all good and happy. And I can choose good. I can stand up and choose to pray and choose to intercede and use my free will. Praise God. And there's something that's that pleases the heart of God. He's going to reward us for this kind of stuff someday. Deeds done in the body, in our two-hour movie, where we do have a choice between good and evil, to stand up and choose good, and to choose to pray, and to choose to love, and to choose to bless. And you're in a world, you know, where you don't get the fanfare, you know? It's kind of like preaching to a largely empty church. It's kind of like being in an away game, you know? You know, and in an away game at the football team, they score a touchdown, it's kind of quiet and dead. But I know that even though it's a largely empty church, I know that in your homes and on your devices, you're amening things that are good. You're laughing at my jokes, hopefully. You know, but I do that by faith, you know, knowing that someday I'll go back to that hometown and enjoy the fanfare. But for now, this is good enough. I know God's pleased. Even though I don't get, you know, the news crews don't come and interview me after I've interceded for the nation. They don't care. Natural man doesn't care about spiritual things. God does. And I know by faith, even though it may be more of an empty auditorium in terms of getting the gratification of what's happening, I know it's happening. I know the angels of heaven are going wild. I know the grandstands of heaven see. I know God sees, and I know he's pleased. And so I'm pushing through by faith, and I'm praying. I'm praying for a nation. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to close just by praying for our nation, for lifting up the United States of America. And we do have some people in our grandstands this morning, but we have limited to under 10. So we're staying within the guidelines of where we are in our districts here. But as we do, I'm going to go ahead and just start just praying and interceding a little bit. And as people feel inclined to come and want to pray, we're just going to kind of open it up. And I just want to invite you too, wherever you're at, in your home, car, wherever you might be, as we begin to pray and intercede and pray for the United States of America, pray for our nation, we just invite you to join with us in spirit as we pray. We invite you to just pray. I mean, if the Spirit of God comes on you to pray something, you don't have to listen to what I'm praying. Pray out what you get in the Spirit too. Or you want to pray after we're done praying? We just want this to be a time of prayer and intercession where we are on purpose lifting up this country. So Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We rise up in your name. We rise up in the name of the greater one. We rise up in the power of Pentecost. Our eyes are open. We're standing there. The world is in chaos. We are not in chaos. Their hearts may be in fear for things coming on the earth. Our hearts are not in fear of these things coming on the earth. We don't let our hearts be troubled. We don't let them be afraid. We choose to not be afraid, but we do choose to stand up because we know one thing about this world. We know one thing about he that is in this world. He cannot and will not prevail against the church because the church has been empowered by Pentecost. We've been empowered by the greater one. The excellency of the power is not of us. It's of him. It's of the Holy Spirit, the greater one who lives on the inside of us. So, Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus this morning. We intercede for this nation. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand, Father God. We ask you to forgive us, forgive our hypocrisy, forgive our wrath. We put aside our wrath and anger and overflow of wickedness that we may have allowed to infiltrate our heart and our human anger, thinking that by our anger that we're going to move things in the spirit realm. We're not. We need you. So we lay aside that. And with meekness, we receive that engrafted word. We receive the power of your word, that it's not by might. It's not by power. It is by the Spirit of God. It is by the greater one who lives on the inside of us. And so we yield ourselves to the greater one. We yield ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit. We yield ourselves to the name of Jesus Christ. We yield ourselves to the Word of God. And we intercede in the name of Jesus for all who are in authority. We pray for our President Donald Trump. We pray, Father God, for wisdom and grace and understanding, Father. If there are things, Lord, that need to change, that you show him what needs to change. If there are things that do need to change in our law enforcement, that can be changed, show him, Father, guide him, give him wisdom in that. Lord, to know what's right, to know what's wrong, to be clear-minded, Father God. We pray against political ideology. We pray against ideologues where we've got one way of thinking. That's gone in the name of Jesus. You are loyal to the truth. Wherever the truth is, that's what we want, Father God. We pray that spirit of truth, Father God, over the politics of this nation, that truth resonates, that there's peace, Father. We pray for our president. We pray that you show him, guide him. We pray that people come alongside him that will show him, lead him, guide him, Heavenly Father. And we just pray for peace in this land, that we may have peace. We pray against these riots in the name of Jesus. We know that which steals and kills and destroys is satanic. It is wrong. And we take authority in the name of Jesus over that spirit of lawlessness. We take authority over it. We break it in the name of Jesus. And we pray for peace, Father God. We pray for clarity in the name of Jesus. We pray, Father God, for waves of glory and wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you to fill this land, Lord. We pray for our president, for our federal, for our state, for our local officials, Heavenly Father, to have the wisdom of God, to have the mind of the Spirit. Father, we pray that you show us things. Show us things by your Spirit. Show us how to pray for those who hate us, who spitefully use us and persecute us. We pray for wisdom, Lord Jesus, how to reach their hearts, how to love, how to do good, how to bless, Father God. We thank you for the love of God that casts and dispels the fear. I pray, Father, for people's hearts to have a sense of being understood in this nation. That people have a platform to be heard, that there's a satisfaction of being heard. We pray supernaturally, where there hasn't been for decades and generations, that that breaks now, that that changes now, not just the violence to cease, but for discussion and for godly coming together and for a peaceful unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Father, we just pray against the divisiveness in this country, the political division in this country that decharacterizes human beings into these ideologues that aren't even human. We take authority over that spirit in Jesus' name, that truth prevails. And in truth prevailing, there's credibility in our love. There's credibility in our heart. There's credibility in what we do. Father God, we pray that you give us wisdom to reach out to love. Father, we want your will to be done on this earth as it is in heaven. We want that heart of justice and righteous for all, Father God. We thank you for it, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you show us in our hearts and our minds, if there's stuff that's not right, reveal that to us. Help us to humble ourselves and change where we need to change. Father God, we belong to you. We love you. And our heart, Lord, is to do the right thing, to pray for you, to pray for this country, and to live for you, and to lift up your name. We thank you for it, Father God, for just peace in this land, supernatural peace and grace. Praise you, Jesus. Jesus, we love you. We pray for salvations. We pray for people to come to Jesus. We pray, Father, for hearts to cry out as they're afraid of things coming upon the earth, that they see us shine. They see our calmness. They see our love. They see our love. They see our peaceful spirit. They see our kindness. They see our doing good, Father God. That we confuse their math, and that we have entrance and access to their heart to speak Jesus, to speak the love of Jesus Christ. The gospel of God is the power of God unto salvation. I pray for us, Lord, as believers, that we have boldness, that we declare the word of God boldly as we ought to in occasions and opportunities that present themselves to us, Lord. We love you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your goodness. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for the move of your Spirit. We thank you for Pentecost over this situation. We declare the power of your name, the power of your love. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
In the spirit of humbling ourselves before you. And if those listening, if this resonates, just let your heart completely hook up with this. This is you. Just allow the Holy Spirit to bring conviction and cleansing. Lord, I repent. Yes. I repent, Father, for ignoring red flags brought on by your Holy Spirit. When I have pushed past those warnings, even it seems small in the moment, and I've pushed past it. Lord, I repent of that attitude where I haven't been aware of your presence, where I haven't been in submission to your authority in my actions, in my thoughts, and in my words. Lord, I bow low before you in a spirit of humility because, Lord, I want your ways. Yes. I want your ways so that I can walk in your truth. So we just ask you to teach us your ways and that we wouldn't push past the red flags. Yes. Lord, that we would walk wholeheartedly in your truth, that we would be loyal to you first above all.
Yes.
We wouldn't belong to anything more than we belong to you,
yes,
God.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
We are your children.
Yes.
We identify as children of the Most High God.
Yes, Lord.
In whom is truth and light, in whom is the way.
Yes.
We surrender ourselves to your ways,
yes,
O Lord. Your ways, O Lord. Let your way be worked in our hearts.
Yes.
So we can walk wholeheartedly in your truth.
Yes, Lord.
In your truth that is operated and motivated by love.
Yes, Lord.
That we would understand because we love you first. Above all things, we love you first.
Yes.
First love. First love. Lord, bring back the first love to our hearts. We surrender ourselves to first love.
Yes, Lord.
To be single-minded, wholly devoted to you first.
Yes, Lord.
To your word. To your word. To your spirit.
Yes, Lord.
We line ourselves up, Lord. We just trust you to do the rest.
Yes,
you are faithful. To keep those things that we commit to you. We commit our hearts to you. We commit our minds. Your word says that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love our neighbor as we love ourselves.
Yes, Lord.
Work that way in us, Holy Spirit.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Father. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, as Jody was just praying that, it was just so poignant. I mean, it's where we all are, where we all need to be. That heart check, that heart adjustment, that heart in sync. Because He is our first love. He is our first loyalty. Our wholeheartedness is to Him. And that's why we can't, that's the difference, but you know, why he has to be our all in all. You can never, in a political environment, make a political party your all in all. The difference between any political party and God is this. In Him is light, and there is no darkness at all. A lot of times politically, you can put up with little darkness for the purpose of the greater light. And so you politic things, hide things, do different things. But in Him, there's no darkness at all. And that's why He's our all in all. And we're loyal to Him. No matter what party you're in, there's some darkness in it where there's human beings. But when you're loyal to Him, you'll call out the darkness no matter where it is. Because you're His first. And if there's inequity, and there's wisdom that's full of partiality and hypocrisy, hey, that's partial. That's hypocritical. I don't care if it is my party. That's not right. That should change. Because I want truth. in him is no darkness at all. That's my heart. That's who I'm down here representing, him. Thank God for political parties that we can have influence and change. That's good. But ultimately, first and foremost, it's like what Jody said. Him. He's my heart. He's my light. He's my all in all. I'm honest. And I'm going to call balls and strikes according to the Spirit of God, according to Pentecost, the Spirit of truth who's on the inside of me, who guides me into all truth. Praise you, Jesus. That's our heart for truth in love that we may grow. We don't want to be a noisy gong. We don't want to be a clanging cymbal. We don't want to just be right. We want that love. We want that kindness. We want that grace. We want the power of Pentecost. The Spirit of power. The Spirit of love. The Spirit of a sound mind. The greater one. We unleash that Spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. We pray healing for our nation, healing for our land. You are the healer of the land. We are the prayers, and you are the healer. We're going to do our part, Lord. We're going to repent, humble ourselves wholeheartedly on you. Have your way. Heal this land in a way that you get the glory. Heal this land in a way that people say there's God in the world. It took a miracle. It took God to heal this. That God gets the glory. As you show people how to work together in love and open up this world for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, we give you thanks. We give you glory. We give you honor, Lord, for what you're doing. We declare that things are turning today. Things are turning back today. Violence is turning back today. Peace is going forward today. Wisdom is going forward today. The tide has turned today. The Spirit of God is raising up a standard today against all evil. And that evil is dispelled in the name of Jesus. That demonic wisdom that tries to disguise itself as godly wisdom, that's exposed in Jesus' name. We just thank you, God, for freedom, for healing, for wisdom, for grace. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We give you the glory and the praise and the honor for everything that you've done and that you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're so glad that you've, again, tuned in this morning and have been part of this message and part of our prayer time. Praise God. If you're still praying, keep praying. You don't have to listen to me right now. If you're in the flow of the Spirit, that's great. Keep going. But you can watch this later. But praise God. We're just trusting that God has done something, that he's spoken to your heart, that there's a flow of the Holy Spirit. Like I said, I got that picture of this park, and I'm being taken from place to place, and I was just amazed in my dream how chill I was. This was so real to me in that dream. And I remember waking up and thinking, oh, it's just a dream. You know, I wasn't quite there, you know, in real life. But I could tell that God in 2020 is saying, I'm taking you to a place. It can't just be theology, that I can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think according to Pentecost that works on the inside of you. In 2020, we need that to be a reality. We need the unleashing of that abundantly above all we can ask or think on the coronavirus, on the racial tensions, and anything else that 2020 would throw at us. We are living in the power of God, and the excellency of the power is not of us, it's of him. Praise God. So praise God. We're excited about what God's doing, what he's going to be doing this week. We're going to go ahead and prepare for our giving. Again, it's a little different. We know a lot of you have already given, or you did prepare at different ways, different times during the week, but we just want to let you know these are the different ways you can give. We've got the text giving there to that number, and you can just give space, whatever that is. And first time you do it, you get a little link that kind of establishes method and all that stuff. After that, it's really as simple as just saying give space amount and it'll process. So just another new technology way of doing it. We've got our PayPal through the dooroflife.org website, and then of course you can just drop it in the mail too. So we're so thankful and appreciative for your faithfulness and giving and support and Door of Life. We've been so blessed. You guys have just really hooked up your hearts and You know, even though we're not here physically, we sense your love. We sense, you know, we tell you we love you, we care for you. We sense your love. We sense your gratitude and appreciation and support. So thank you. Thank you for staying hooked up with us through this interesting time. And again, just looking so forward to getting back together with you. So we're just going to go ahead and close the service here with a word of prayer and pray over all these gifts that you give at different times throughout the week. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these gifts that are given. Lord, they're given cheerfully. They're given in love. Lord, we receive them cheerfully in love in that same sweet spirit. We just speak the blessing, your new covenant, New Testament blessing, that you multiply the seed we sow, that you cause us, Lord, to abound, that having all sufficiency in all things, we may abound toward every good work. We thank you for it, Heavenly Father. We thank you for your goodness, for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for your provision, for your protection. And we thank you, Lord, as we go forward this week, that we go forward in the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the greater one. Show us how to continue to lift up this nation, to take our place as the church of God. The gates of hell may be able to prevail against a precinct in a downtown county, but the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church, cannot prevail against our prayers, cannot prevail against the greater one who lives on the inside of us. And that's where our focus is, that's where our trust is, and that's whom we stand in very peacefully. Unleash the power, love, and a sound mind that's on the inside of us out into this world to bring healing, redemption, and freedom. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, again, so glad that you tuned in this morning. Have a wonderful week in the Lord, and we'll continue to keep you updated as things change. I would love for that guideline to change this week so we could have you, you know, some kind of a service either outdoor or in here soon. You know, I'm on the health people regularly, so I'm as aggressive as I can be. That's my heart. But at the same time, we're going to also observe and do what we can to play our role and our responsible part in stopping the spread and things like along those lines as well too. So anyway, just want you to know our heart. And we love you, and we're looking forward to being in touch with you again soon. God bless. Have a great week.